Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
You're on with the Zoo Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday. And we started off with our girl Vivian and her socially conscious segment. And we talked about death, nagging hurts for all of the madness they got going on with their renters. 320 people since 2015 have been arrested because they claim that these people have stolen rental cars. So we've done this story before where, you know, people have rented from Hertz, and sometimes right in the middle of their rental, they've been arrested saying that they have stolen the car. We have where people have rented, returned, gotten home, and a week or so later, they've been arrested. Yeah, they're going straight buck wild. Well, they have been sued because people have spent time in prison, and you know how you get when you upset their world. But they're making Hertz pay for it to the tune of $168 million. Yes, they're, you know, you can't give them back the time that they spent in jail and, you know, all that other anguish that they felt being arrested, their embarrassment, but they'll be able to party for a little bit. Yes, $168 million divided by 320 people, and they're going to get their payday. Well, mask up. Yes, the people who live in the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Queens is at the top of the list. They want you to mask up when you're indoors to help keep the spread of COVID down. You know, so, I mean, we've all, you know, most of us have gotten a taste of what COVID is like, and we don't want to ever experience it again. And, you know, not only that, you don't want to be sick from it one time and then you know, get sick again, and now you're sicker. So, you know, just put that mask on. Just put that mask on and it's in on the, you know, inside, on the inside. It's not okay. It's not okay. All righty. Well, the MTA is about to increase that fare. Well, it's been a long time coming. According to them, I'm sure, January 23rd. We're going to go from $2.75 to $2.90. And their biggest explanation is the fact that we are paying for the fact that the MTA has taken a hit on their fare riders. Yeah. Well, in two ways. One, it has decreased severely. You know, the riders have decreased severely since the pandemic, and people are just really not taking the trains like they used to. No, they're not. And now you've got the issue of the fare evaders. Yeah. All those people who are, you know, been jumping the turnstile, getting on the bus, not paying. So you're going to have to pay for the loss of income there. And they plan on turning it up on the fare evaders. And they're getting some new equipment and upgrading their station. So you have to pay for that too. You know how it goes. When renovations get done, okay. So get ready to pay that $2.96. All right. Well, the ladies were in the house yesterday, and reason to give generously was the topic of the morning. Yes, we had a fantastic, fantastic morning when we talked about the need to not just give, but to give generously, okay? And one of the first things we talked about was when we give, the Lord takes it personally. We are handing it to him. Well, the Bible verse that says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, Proverbs 19:17, and it's true. It's true, because remember, he also said, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Matthew 25:40. So remember now, whatever we're doing for our brother, we're really doing it for Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us, whatever we do it as though we're doing it unto the Lord. Well, guess what? It's because we are doing it unto the Lord. Okay. The next thing we talked about, we give because we have received so freely. What do you have that you have not received? First Corinthians 4:7. Listen, we give because we have received so freely. We are not in the least bit deserving of all the things that God gives us. And he keeps his promise. And he just keeps on giving, okay? So, you know, you don't want to be stingy, and yet God is giving you, okay? All right. What else are we talking about here? We give because the Lord makes it a condition for his giving us further blessings. And here's one of my favorite verses. Test me on this, the Lord says, and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing. Overflows, Malachi 3:10. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give. God says, if you give, I'm going to give. All right? So it just goes in one big cycle, doesn't it? Absolutely. Give and it shall be given unto you. That sounds like one big circle to me. Yeah. All right. We get to increase our love for the things of God. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:21. You know, the more you do, and I am a living witness, you know, so I'm going to say test me on this. We give to increase our love for the things of God. The more you give, the more you love giving. Yeah, and it's not going to always be the same kind of giving. No. You're going to want to do more things. You're going to want to do different things. You're going to really want to show the love of God. And test me on that one. You know, really, you know, understand that. God will deal with your heart. For real. For real, for real. The more you give, the more it's pleasing to give. And it's just like whenever God tells me to give, I start, you know, going all overboard on the inside. Man, people may not see what I'm feeling, but the bubbling that goes on the inside, that you could do about it. Like you can turn the switch on. Yeah. So, come on, come on, come on. Give generously. Okay? Well, our Pastor Charlene was under the weather yesterday, so we did not get our, faith over fear yesterday. And we pray that she's doing better today. And it is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, today we talk about our health and spiritual health, emotional health, mental health, physical health, whichever one it is. We talk about it today, okay? So, you know, we're grateful that God has shined upon us and just tapped us on the shoulder this morning. Aren't you glad? I know I am. So come on, come on, come on. Let's get this day started. Go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell somebody that it's due time where Pastor Steph is on. And don't go nowhere because we'll be right back.
Lung cancer research is moving at a rapid pace, and new treatment options are available. Biomarker testing looks for changes in a tumor's DNA, which may influence your treatment options. The American Lung Association has up-to-date resources so you can be your own advocate. Get started at lung.org.
Again, welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Therapeutic Thursday. God has been so good to us, and he has just ushered us into this side of the week. You know, we're about to end this week over here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. You know, God spares our life. We got one more day. And we'll be off to the weekend. So let's give God thanks that he loves us that much, that we can take time to enjoy his blessings. We have another opportunity to get it right. You know, yesterday I was studying with someone, and the same study that I've done a million times. And I was so pumped, as though I had never, ever, ever studied this lesson before. And I was really excited at how excited I was. I was like, wow, Stephanie. But I just enjoy talking about the Lord. I enjoy living for the Lord. I enjoy obeying the Lord. I enjoy just being uncompromising. You know, I don't sidestep. I don't, you know, try to rationalize it with my own brain. I don't, you know, try to move around it. It is what it is. The Word of God is what it is. And, you know, I don't find joy when I'm ducking and dodging. you know, or when I was ducking and dodging. I don't find joy, you know, because I already know that it's coming back. Whether you want it to or not, oh, slow obedience is straight disobedience. And once God gives you, to much is given, much is required. And that means that once you get it, it's yours. And you're going to have to act on that thing. Or, you know, so we could take our time and, you know, handle it however we want to handle it and, you know, do what we want to do. And, you know, we're going to run around the bush a couple times and all of these kind of things. And it's coming back. And, you know, it's almost like you know something's chasing you. Well, at least that's where I am. You know, I know that I can't get away from God and what he has for Stephanie. So once I get it, I just go ahead and do it. Because if not, I'm always looking over my shoulder trying to figure out when the shoe going to drop. And I don't know about y'all, but I can't live like that. First of all, I don't move fast enough. So anything that's chasing me going to catch up to me. You know, I'm not a runner. I'm not a, you know, a jogger. You know, I don't even think my legs can get up that fast in order to even jog. And I always said, I hope nobody ever, chases me. Because if so, I'm just going to stand still and let you catch me. Because I ain't running. And that's the way I feel about God. You know, why am I going to run from God? Who knows where I'm going to be tomorrow, in a week? You know, why am I going to run from God when he says my word will stand until the end of time? You know, until, you know, it's all over, that word going to be that word. So where are you going? So I ain't got no time to be running from God. So, you know, when I was studying yesterday, I was just, like, really psyched to think about, you know, how long God has left me here and how he has chosen to deal with me. You know, other people I know, they ain't got there yet. So, you know, when they finally get there, they're going to have to catch up. You know, so come on, y'all. Join the party. Join the party. What are we talking about today? Well, let's see. What are we talking about today? Well, you know, we always start off with our little health news. Because today's Stephanie Thursday. Well, you know, they say that there are symptoms never to ignore if you have heart failure. Okay? Now, you might want to get a pen because you may know someone who is, you know, experiencing this. And I definitely can attest to, you know, being around a person who had these symptoms. All right. Are you ready? All right. Well, if you have heart failure, don't ignore that cough that gets worse at night. Heart failure can allow fluid to build up in your lungs, causing you to cough frequently. If your cough worsens at night or when you lie down, you need to seek medical care quickly. This type of cough can signal a case of pulmonary edema that requires rapid intervention. And, you know, you have got to get to the cardiologist, who may give you medications that push the excess fluid out of your body so your lungs can function better. And I got to tell you, this is so true. Many years ago, I was with somebody and, oh my gosh, that cough drove me crazy. And sure enough, I was like, nah, you got to get to the doctor. And finally, when we went, his heart, yeah. So really, pay attention to that. Do not ignore that. Definitely let the cardiologist know. Okay? If you're in heart failure, don't ignore shortness of breath that does not go away. And they're saying because heart failure can cause fluid buildup in the lungs, people with this condition commonly experience shortness of breath when performing routine tasks like walking a short distance or getting dressed. Okay? They say if you begin to experience chronic shortness of breath, that doesn't improve no matter how much you rest, you need to speak to your cardiologist. Okay? Again, they may prescribe, you know, some medications to improve your breathing or may prescribe additional testing to determine if you need oxygen therapy. Okay? All right. If you are in heart failure, do not ignore heart palpitations. Okay? If you've been diagnosed with heart failure and you start to experience fluttery feelings in your chest, or if you notice your pulse seems erratic, contact that cardiologist. They say sometimes heart failure can induce an arrhythmia, which is an abnormal heartbeat, which can also make you feel dizzy or weak. Okay? And your doctor can evaluate the electrical conduction of your heart and, you know, address it. Okay? All right. If you are experiencing heart failure, do not ignore the increasing dizziness or fatigue. Okay? They say many people with heart failure feel dizzy and fatigued from time to time. You may particularly experience this upon standing because your heart lacks the ability to quickly increase blood pressure to your brain. If you feel dizzy or fatigued more often than usual, or if the dizziness occurs even when you're not standing, then you need to contact your cardiologist, okay? They say increasing dizziness or fatigue may indicate further weakening of the heart muscle that might be treatable with different medications or dosages. If you're in heart failure, don't ignore the weight gain. Excuse me. They say weighing yourself daily can be an effective strategy in managing heart failure. If you do weigh daily, be vigilant for any upward trend on the scale. Weight fluctuation from day to day is normal with heart failure, but persistent weight gain over the course of a week can signal increasing fluid retention throughout your body. Okay? So you can't ignore that thing. All right? All right. If you're in heart failure, don't ignore the swelling in the feet, legs, or abdomen. Okay? People with heart failure often experience swelling that comes and goes in the ankles, the feet, or the legs. If you develop engorged legs that stay swollen, or if you develop a beer belly, then it's time to seek medical attention. I'm sorry. They say this type of chronic fluid retention can signal a decline in your heart's ability to pump. Okay. And they say your cardiologist may suggest lifestyle or medication changes to help reduce fluid retention. All right? If you're in heart failure, do not ignore confusion or delirium. Okay? They say heart failure can provoke an electrolyte imbalance in your body, such as retention of too much sodium, leading to episodes of confusion and delirium. So they say you might forget how to navigate your own house, or you might, you know, spin some wild stories that make no sense to the listeners. And if the people around you alert you of, you know, these episodes of confusion, you know, make sure you contact your cardiologist. Don't run to the, you know, to the psych ward so quickly. Okay? They say this episode may be heart-related. Okay? So, you know, make sure you go to the cardiologist and you tell him or her what you're experiencing so, you know, they can address that as well. Okay? So those are the things, you know, that you need to pay attention to, especially if you have heart failure. Okay? Well, so what are we talking about today? What story are we talking about today? Boy, I got some doozies here. Okay. Well, first, I want to give an alert that the authorities are giving out, and they're saying that police are warning the public in the midst of a spike in violent bank jugging robbery. They say it's very heavy in Southern California, but as the holidays approach, you know, it's moving, it might be moving closer to your neighborhood, your city, your state. So they say bank jugging involves thieves staking out potential victims in bank parking lots and then following them to their next destination to rob them. Now, this is not necessarily a brand new practice of thieves or robbers, but it has now gotten an official name, I see. They've been doing this for years, but I guess at one point it kind of took a little decline. Well, now it's on the rise. They say that the crime is usually when a group of people follow unsuspecting victims to a bank and wait for them to withdraw a large amount of cash. And once the victim leaves the bank, they follow them to their intended destination. So I guess what puts a little spin on this is the fact that they may not rob you right at your car, and then sometimes they will. So in other words, if you get in your car and, you know, you good, you think that when you get to your destination, that's when you may be approached by these robbers. So they say you usually have somebody driving the vehicle, and oftentimes they have somebody that's actually inside the bank posing as a customer, and, you know, they're in communication with, you know, one another. So, you know, keep your eyes and ears posted for any activity. And they say in one instance, a customer is seen walking out of a Wells Fargo bank with a bag containing $10,000 in cash. Now, I need to know how the robbers knew he had $10,000. I'm just asking. You know, it's just a little side note. And they say the two suspects, a gunman and a getaway driver, pulled into the parking lot and awaited his exit. As the victim walked to his car, you know, they saw a suspect running toward the victim and confronting him with a handgun. So that's the one where they're approaching you at your car. They have other instances where they have them following the victim. So they've used, you know, camera, like let's say in the bank and in the parking lot, and then wherever they went had another camera, so they were able to pick up the fact that these were the same people that they saw, you know, from the beginning. So, you know, be careful, be on alert, you know, don't let anybody stop you. You know, try to be as discreet as possible, you know, when you're making your transactions and, you know, things like that. Because like I said, if I'm leaving the bank with $10,000, you won't know about it. You know, so I don't know exactly, you know, how they got to that point, but they did. So just be careful, you know. This holiday time, people are desperate. You know, they always got something going on. So, you know, let's make sure we don't, you know, fall victim. Okay? All righty. So we have this deputy. We have this deputy that rapes a woman in her car. And this was a really weird, for me, kind of weird scenario. So they say that there's this deputy who met up with a woman in a parking lot on the evening, on a Friday evening. And what ended up happening was, you know, he got in the passenger seat of the woman's car and the two kids before getting in the back seat. Now, in the back seat, he became aggressive and forcefully touched her. And they say for an hour and a half, he sexually assaulted her, including choking her until she felt like she was going to pass out. Twice he told her that she had 30 seconds to comply with his advances. And when she told him no multiple times, he would just continue. So in order for her to get away, she kind of devised this story or whatever, and she told him that they could have sex if he took her on a first date, thinking that might make him stop. Well, he has exited the vehicle, both of them, and then he sexually assaults her again. And she told him no, and he would have, you know, been able to do this if they went on this first date, or the date first. And she's trying to make him stop so she could get away. Well, it didn't work because he kept going. So they say that he's facing two rape charges and other, you know, other charges are kind of pending. But here's the thing. They place him on administrative leave, and there's this internal investigation going on. And when he was arrested, he posted $9,900 cash bond, and he's kind of walking the street. Well, I guess that's how he's able to sit up at the desk and do administrative work. So it's like, I don't know, this is weird to me. I don't know. I was trying to read this, and, you know, I said maybe when I read it this morning it would make a little more sense, but I'm a little lost here. Because clearly, it doesn't show how long they knew one another or when they met, but it shows that this all started when they agreed to meet up and they got in her car. So she didn't even get in his car. They got in her car, and he just went buck wild. Well, you know, no is no. You know, no is no, and even if she was cool with it, you know, and got in the back seat and, you know, was kissing and all this kind of stuff, I'm sure there was some groping. But she said no after a while. But, you know, here's the deal, ladies, and let's just speak pretty frankly. You know, once you get a man started, it's going to be hard to turn him off. Now, like I said, no is no. I'm not saying that he shouldn't have stopped. But I'm going to be honest, I ain't surprised that he didn't stop. Because when you in the backseat of a car, come on, ladies, let's think about this thing here. In the backseat of the car, they say they were, they talked initially, and then they got in the back car, and they would, you know, kiss it. Well, once you went in that back seat, yeah, you gave all other kind of signals, unfortunately. And, you know, we've got to remember that we can't send certain messages because they're not going to listen to us after a while. No. You know, it's not like turning that light switch on and off, and it complies when the switch goes down. The lights go off, you know, and now, you know, she's trying to think of a way. So look, this is why I said I'm confused. She says, well, let's go on a date first, and then we'll have sex, because she needs to get him up off of her so she can get away. So here's what, again, this is what happens when things get all twisted and it doesn't go in the proper order that it should go. Because now, you know, you've gotten in the car with him, y'all kissing, then y'all get in the back seat. Well, my question was, what'd you get in the back seat to do? I'm just curious, you know. And like I said, I definitely do not condone what happened. I definitely don't give him excuses. What I'm trying to say is reality. Reality says if I'm getting in that back seat, I had already sent one heavy message of what I intend to do, what I'm allowing you to do. And I ain't think about the fact that I didn't want you to go too far before I helped you get there in that back seat. It didn't say he dragged her to the back seat. It says when they got into the back seat. So, ladies, let's not put ourselves in certain situations where, you know, now he's all out of control and now ain't no turning him off because he then lost it. And, you know, thank God, you know, he said, you know, the account that she gave was, you know, choking her to the point where she felt she was going to black out. Well, I'm sure a whole lot of deaths have occurred when this wild sex was going on. And I'm not saying she was participating. You get my point, hopefully. But when he's got his hand wrapped around her throat, he could have easily killed her. You know, this didn't have to be, you know, something that she could have actually walked away from. You know, so this is because these people are out of control. And you are in the back of a car. You are trapped. Ain't no getting out if he on top of you. Ain't no getting out if he's stronger than you. You know, so, you know, that was, thank God she was able to get out. Thank God nothing worse happened. I know, you know, it's like, well, that's what, you know, rape. But I say that because, again, you know, there was this account of him having his hand around her neck to the point that she almost blacked out. Well, the same way she could have almost blacked out is the same way she could have almost gotten killed. So, you know, thank God that this did not end differently. All right. So, you got this other story here about this guest who's in a hotel, who's staying in a hotel, or somehow she's in this hotel. So, okay. So, there's this Red Roof Inn worker who is now facing problems, major problems, because of a victim who says that she came to hang out with a friend at the hotel and she got drunk. So, okay, so that's how she got drunk. She came out with a beer friend. So she says while she was intoxicated, she was in the elevator with urine-soaked clothes. And she went to get help to clean up the mess. So my first question is, you went there to be with a friend. Y'all drank, you got drunk. Well, what happened to the friend's room? Why are you walking around the hotel looking for help? Oh, Lord. So they say she met this front desk worker and she asked him for help. Well, here's the answer here. Since the friend had left the hotel and she didn't have a key. Okay. Well, that answers my question. All right, so he was supposed to help her get cleaned up because it says he told her to go to come on into the office to get cleaned up. So the surveillance footage shows that she and him actually went into the office. So they say moments later, he can be seen taking her to an off-camera area. So they say the two remained off the camera for almost 20 minutes, and then they returned to the common area where the victim was only wearing a shirt and underwear. So they say then the video footage shows her sitting down in a chair to put on her pants. And this is when the rape allegedly took place. So she's claiming that she got raped after this particular point. So she reported then, she reportedly that he followed her out of the front room of the hotel across the parking lot, leaving the hotel unattended, the two of them, and he didn't go back. So that's when, a few minutes later, the cops get a call that she's been raped. So they go over there and they arrest him. They take her to the hospital, and now he's being charged with rape and kidnapping. Again, how do we get here? How do we get here? And like I said, I don't want to hear anybody say, well, you know, she didn't ask for it. I didn't say she did. I didn't say she asked for it. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's almost like yesterday, Vivian was talking and giving us her story. And I've heard people say this before. You know, it's entrapment when you hide and, you know, now they snag you for what you did and caught you. But you didn't see them, so now you feel it's entrapment. What if I never planned on jumping the turnstile? Or was it Tamika? It was one of the two of them. If I never planned on jumping the turnstile, then you can't entrap me. Who's entrapping you? If you didn't position yourself to get the ticket, then they couldn't have given you the ticket. So who did they give the ticket to? The one who went through the turnstile and they were standing off site and they stopped, or the one who paid the fare and kept on going and they never stopped them? If we don't position ourselves for these things, then we don't have these issues. And I can't even imagine, you know, you being that intoxicated, you know, where your people leave the hotel. Well, what happened to your people? They didn't see you this drunk? There's just too many questions that go on in my head. And maybe it's just me, but it's not making sense to me. So I go to a hotel to get to you know, party with my friend, have a good time with my friend. So my friend leaves. I'm this intoxicated. They didn't leave me with the key, and they didn't leave me in the room. I end up on an elevator, urine soaked, because I know, you know, you always see, you know, it's almost like diabetic going to the bath. You got to go, you got to go. You know, I've seen many intoxicated people dancing because they got to go to the bathroom. So I know how that feels. But so she probably, you know, had an accident on herself. I'm not even talking about that part. I'm talking about the part that, how we get here. Okay, I need my crew. Somebody got to help me out here. Who's the first one on here? Okay, my girl Tamika. Good morning, Tamika. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am fine. How are you today?
I'm confused. I'm glad to know you're fine, because I am quite confused. You know, there seems to be this saying now, you know, people say, well, I'm confused, and I don't like that, because I don't like that terminology, because, you know, well, I'm confused. No, you're not, you know, when things, you know, are logical, And no, I'm really confused here. So help me out here. We got two cases where something ain't making a whole lot of sense. But the first one is a little easier, you know, to kind of, you know, get with. She just, you know, they got in her car, she kissed, they kissed, and they agreed to get in the back seat. And then it all went downhill from there. So my first question is, and again, let me say this, I'm not saying that she should have been raped or it's her fault, quote unquote. I'm trying to figure out what did you think was going to happen. And I know we can't speak for people, but I need some clarity here. What did you think was going to happen? You sitting in the back seat of this. Now, y'all just started the kissing, Tamika, in the front seat of the car. So my question becomes, why get in the back seat if all I'm going to do is kiss? Because after I start kissing, I'm sure he was touching in the front seat. So now you get in the back seat. What do you think is going to happen? Is it just me kind of in this confused mode?
Well, the first thing I want to say is, you know, I want to put in a disclaimer. We as women should always have to be aware of who we are, you know,
yep,
and who we surround ourselves with, who, what we do, what we say. Now, I want to be real frank, because in this world, you know, in learning and living, you know that there are certain things that you just can't do. And it doesn't mean that, you know, oh, well, I should be able to do, yeah, you should be able to do whatever you want to do. You should be able to wear whatever you want to wear. You should be able to act however you want to act. However, in this world, everybody doesn't follow that guideline and that rule, you know. And so, you know, again, I don't want to say that she asked for it, but there are things that you could have done personally to keep yourself from being in either one of these predicaments. I'm not meeting you in your car. I'm not meeting you in my car. We're definitely not getting in the back seat. You know, there are things, there are premises that you set, you as the female set, that says, we're not doing this. We're not going there. I'm not going to allow you to do this. We're not, you know, there has to be some limits, some boundaries. We're always talking about boundaries. And here is where it is paramount. Hey, we're not going to do this. We're not going to go there. I'm not, you're not getting in my car. You know, you want to stand outside my car? That's fine. You know, but no, you put yourself in a predicament that opened up an opportunity. You know, the other thing, I'm not drinking with you. You know, and I'm definitely not going to, if you do, okay, so we do have people that drink. If you're going to drink, put a limit. You're going to drink to the degree that you are, you know, slathering. When you get to the point where your speech is slurred, you know, that's already a problem. You know, from the first drink, you automatically, your inhibitions change. You know, you're a little bit more loose. You're a little bit more open. Now you're at a point where you have urine-soaked clothes. So that means you couldn't handle your own urine, you know, and you're locked out, you know, and all of this stuff transpired because you opened yourself an opportunity to place yourself in jeopardy. You know, you have to take responsibility for your part, the role that you play. Again, I am not saying that either one of these women deserved it. However, you have to set some boundaries so that you don't put yourself in an opportunity where you can be taken advantage of.
Absolutely, and that's all I'm trying to say. How we get here, how we get this drunk, and me and you together, again it goes back to we go together, we leave together. What kind of friend is going to leave me this drunk and then take the key? So you telling me you could have left me in the room and, you know, I could have just kind of slept it off, or, you know, just let me just stay in the room. And that way, you know, you go ahead and do what you got to do and you come back. And it might be a few hours, but I'm going to have to deal with that thing. Or let me just close the door, because anybody who's ever been in a hotel knows that once it's a slam lock. So you can leave me in there and just let me leave. You know, and you know, when I get up and I'm in a better condition. And I'm saying to myself, well, y'all know my tagline, how we get here. How we get here. Ladies, we have got to take care of ourselves. We've got to take care of ourselves. We've got to make sure we stay on alert. You don't drink to the point and you're in public and now all of your defenses are gone. We can't do that. We have to make sure because of the sickies in the world, because of that, if for no other reason, but because of things like this. And this ain't the first time, you know, someone, even a man, may have been, you know, intoxicated in public and now he gets robbed. Well, he wouldn't, you know, he may have been able to prevent that had he not been intoxicated in, you know, in the public, because his senses would have been, you know, more on alert. So thank you. Well said, Tamika. All right.
Yes. I'm sorry. I wanted to bring up one other thing. For all we know, she might have just had a little small something. Here's the other thing. You don't put yourself in an opportunity where you can be taken advantage of. You have your drink. Don't get up and go to the bathroom and, oh, I'm going to leave my drink right here. Can you watch that? Wait a minute. No.
Man.
I'm going to the bathroom. For all we know, she had a little sip of something. Again, you have to be alert, aware, awake. You know, I have went to an outing with my high school. We had a high school reunion, and after that, we met at a bar. You know, it was a sports bar, so we were watching football and that type of thing, and those that drank. You know, and one of the ladies that was with us, I noticed that she was, like, slovenly drunk. You know, and I talked to her the next day. I was like, you know, that's not like you. Why did you drink that much? She said, I didn't. She said, somebody put something in my drink. You know, and I was like, are you serious? She was like, yeah, I believe so, because, you know, this is something that I normally drink. You know, and I said, did you step away from your drink? She said, I did. You know, and then she said, she asked for one of our, you know, our high school, you know, to take her home. And she said that he raped her. You know, you have to be alert and aware. You can't just leave it to chance.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, that topic came up on Saturday night when we were at the event, and Shantice and Kenny, I walked up on them talking about that particular topic of, you know, just leaving your drink around. And I was brought up, man, you put that drink down, you turn, and I mean, I'm talking about school. This is when I was going to school. You put your milk down or your juice down or whatever you had. Once you put it down and turn your back, it's gone. So turn your head up. That ain't mine no more, because you just, and that was in elementary school. My parents taught me that. So, of course, as I got older, you know, that was just a practice that I instilled in my girls. And, you know, as Kenny and Shantice were talking, you know, they were also talking about, you know, you don't let nobody make your drink and bring it to you. You know, no, you go right there and you watch that drink being made. You know, so your defenses are not down at all. So that was a good point to bring up, Tamika. Let's see what's going on here. We got Pastor KL. Oh, do I even want to have this conversation with you? Good morning.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus the Lamb. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How you doing, Pastor KL?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to open up this floor. I want to know what comes to your mind with all of this here. You know, you got these two stories. Did you hear both stories, sir?
I did not. I just heard the last one. I'm sorry. Oh.
So the first story.
But I got the gist of this one.
Yeah, when she got in the back, they were kissing. They met up, her car, they get in the front seat, they talk, and after a while, they start kissing, and they both get in the back seat, and, you know, I guess things go a little too far. She says no, he does not comply. keeps pushing forward. He sexually assaults her. At one point, you know, wrapping his hand around her throat so she almost felt she was going to pass out. And then, you know, she's trying to make up this story or whatever to kind of, you know, get him to stop. So she tells him, you know, they can have sex as long as, you know, he stops and they go on a, she take him off, he takes her on a date. So somehow or another, I guess he buys it, they get out. And once they get out, he sexually assaults her again. And there's some, you know, some things that are going on in our head here. What happens in your head? I don't know. You're a man. So let's hear what you got to say.
Well, as a man in my former life, my hashtag, if we're in the car and you know, we're kissing, getting hot and heavy, and you agree to go to the back seat, then in my mind, then you want to go further. You know, if you or either individual, if this is not what you desire, or if you think it's too soon, or this is not the appropriate place, then you have the ability to stop it from the beginning. You know, at it's almost like being in a race and you want me to stop in the middle of the race. I feel like I'm winning. So now you cut off the entire race and you want to say, no, I'm not ready. Now, I understand you have the ability to say this, but when you taking somebody to that level, I guess emotionally, sexually, whatever, you know, now you want them to turn off as if they jumped into the cold shower and it's all over. You know, was he wrong? He was absolutely, absolutely hands down wrong. So please don't call and say, you know, okay, I'll rape somebody because I ain't raped them. But he was absolutely wrong. Was she wrong? She was absolutely incredibly wrong as well. Because no matter what age you are, you know what the back seat means. So, I mean, if you was kissing in the front seat, but you went to the back seat, you already elevated the game. So you knew what the back seat means. Now you got to the back seat and realized this is really not what you want to do. Then, you know, this stuff, I guess it leads to different things. But, you know, was it her fault? No, it wasn't her fault. But yes, it was her fault, if you understand what I mean, because you're in control of this whole thing more than the man is. The man wouldn't have anything in his mind or any expectation if you wasn't in agreement to go to the back seat, that is.
And, you know, I have to say that's the point that kind of, you know, Tamika was given. And that's the point that you don't set the stage, you know, and you do have every right to say no. But at the end of the day, you know, now again, that getting in that back of that seat, that wasn't a good move. Because you are literally saying, I'm ready, willing, and able to go to the next level. And when you cut that game short, you run a real big risk of him already being out there. And, you know, it's going to go further. We got this other hotel employee who's being charged with rape. When he sees this woman, and she's asking for help. I'm not sure what kind of help she was looking for. That's the other thing that comes to my mind. You know, she got intoxicated. She's on an elevator. She's wet her clothes. The person she's there to see left her there without the key. They took the key with them. I don't know what the arrangement was, but she's now looking for help, and she, you know, she sees this worker there, and she assumes that he's okay. You know, somebody's going to help her. Again, like I said, I don't know. You looking for a change of clothes? I don't know. I don't know. Were you looking for him to call you a cab? I don't know. It doesn't say what kind of help she was looking for, but he then took advantage of her, Pastor KL, and he, according to her, you know, and according to the fact that he's escorting her into an area where there's no camera. And then when they come from, you know, from where, you know, that was. They're going into another place, you know, for 20 minutes. And then she comes out. She only has on a shirt and underwear. And she sits down to put on her pants. And then they both leave and go into the parking lot. And then she calls and, you know, a 911, you know, rape call comes in. So I'm saying to myself, well, do you get that drunk and let your people leave you? My, again, when your people left you, you were like this. You tell you ain't got no friends. What you got, Pastor KL?
Well, I mean, that's the first thing I was thinking about. What kind of friends do you have? You know, yep. that they will see you with the inability to function. Because, I mean, you peeing on yourself right there. You have no ability to function. So they can see you in that drunken stupor and yet go on with their life. They go on with their, you know, with their, let's have a good time. You know, you're already at a place where you can't do anything for yourself. And then, you know,
right.
I start to think of the mentality of the man who would want to rape the pee-pee girl. Now, you in all this urine, and yet you find that attractive.
Oh,
you know, you find that attractive, and I'm trying to figure out what's in your mind. I mean, what does she really look like, you know what I mean, that you would say, okay, let me go beyond the urine. Because we went into the parking lot. We didn't go and change, and we didn't go wash up. And, you know, we went and we indulged in the urine. So I don't know what it's from either side, from the friend side, from the guy side, you know. And if you can't handle your liquor, then we might not want to drink that much.
Yep.
Whether you have a designated driver or not.
Right. Yes. Right, right.
There is such a thing as golden showers. You know, people are into that. You know, maybe
golden showers. But you didn't.
Yes,
you didn't pee on me. You already peed. So the hot. Wait. Because listen, the hot moisture was not a sedation already on me. You had already peed and you was drying up. Now I was dealing with the residue and the stench of it all. Yeah, I'm talking to the wrong
sticky.
One now.
And y'all sticky.
Right.
No,
right.
You sticky, and it's nasty. And you, nah.
So now,
nah, you know.
It's like I'm having sex with a lollipop stuck on me. You know, that's not cute.
I can't. Oh my gosh. I can't. Where's Pastor Charlotte? I need help. I need help. Oh my gosh. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning. Lisa has a flavor.
Oh,
and lollipop, he's got a flavor. Good morning, everybody.
Oh, are you feeling better today?
A little bit the same, but I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm
thank
okay.
You for thank you for joining us.
What did
you say? Oh, he said, I'm okay.
Oh.
Oh, goodness. All right, Pastor Charlotte. So what are we talking about here? What are we talking about? Both stories. Well, what's your feedback for both stories?
Okay. Well, I thought of when getting in the car, yes, you opened yourself up to that, right? Both of y'all are wrong. But you want to say no to me after you got me to here? I thought of, you know, as a man, how do you say no? And I get... Your no means no, but how did you say no? Did you say, no, stop? Because sometimes they do that too. And that means that I don't really want you to stop. You know, so I was thinking of that, you know, because just like everybody stated, that you put yourself in a predicament. So once you're there, you know, you should have thought of that. Or was it that y'all was at the bar, and, you know, sometimes they be dark, and then, you know, when you click the lights on and we go to the party and you click your light on, you're like, oh, I was talking to him. Oh, no. Now you trying to run. You trying to get out before he see you, you know. So that was my thought about the car piece, you know. But they both was wrong. You know, he was wrong on the level of continuing to push her to that, you know. And did he really rape you? Or did you say he raped you?
Okay.
Then let's go to the hotel. My first thought was, where was the cameras? And you ain't got no friends. I thought you always saying that your mom, you ain't got no friends.
That's right.
When
That's
they leave
right.
you, you know, in a state like that. Now, being a former ex-drinker, okay, and drinking too much, and I ain't never peed on myself, so I thank the Lord for that one. But you have to know your limits, you know, because everybody is not going to be responsible for you. And I thought, is this something that you have done before, you know, where that you get to that level of being drunk like that and they just didn't? And if y'all have a hotel key, how many of y'all are in the room? Were you able to? Not that it was right, but what was the situation as you call so-called friends? You know what I mean? And I agree. You should have put her in the room and closed the door and let her just sleep it off, you know. But, there's so many different ways of thinking this. And then as far as him raping her, he took advantage of her. So I thought of the same thing, a golden shower. I thought of that as well. You know, the after effect, he might like the app. He didn't want you to put it on him, but the after effect might excite him. Because remember, some people got different kind of fetishes, you know, different kind of fetishes.
Oh,
so you never know.
You got that right. You just don't know, Pastor Shaw, because that's some kind of fetish. All right now.
And it's
I guess that's the way the men how about that? Well, I guess but I guess that's the way the men go have sex with the dead people. You know, they've been
right.
found to have sex, you know. So and they gotta be stinking. So, you know, I don't know. Oh Lord have mercy. Okay,
let's talk to Shanti's because I'm really confused now.
Thank you for joining us, Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
What are we talking about here? What's your take on this whole two situations?
Okay, so hotel. There's no one is ever, okay, so you're out with a group of people. It's a group of y'all. Somebody is sober. Or only, like, just tipsy. Everyone is not pissy drunk. That does not, for multiple, whether it's because they ain't got enough money to drink like everybody else or whatever the reason is. Everybody is not stumbling and fumbling. So who became the designated walker by default? Because it's not always planned. As to who's not going to get as drunk or who's not going to drink at all. But whoever the designated walker was and failed the whole group, and now she done strayed and went on a tour of the hotel, and here comes this creep who probably was already almost on the verge of getting fired anyway, and now you got this situation. Which
wow.
is just crazy. Like, the... the climate that we're in right now, like, you cannot afford to be this careless. It was dangerous when we used to do it before, you know, when it was done before me and before that person and so on and so forth. But the climate we're in now, like, you can't even Like, you got to check your bottle of water. You know, like, you can't, like, it's beyond the alcohol now. You got to check any and everything that you purchase. So for you to allow yourself to get like that, and like everyone else has said, you know your limit, and everybody who used to drink and did it at least two or three times where they knew their limit, but they tried to test themselves, nah, I can have one more. You know you can't have no one more. You know you can't have no one more. But the way things are going now, you really can't do that. The other one with the car, that was, she's just dumb. She knew what she was doing. You know what happens in the front. It could go down in the front seat. Forget going to the back. It can go down in the front. And now you decide to go in the back. It was probably her idea. And then now, like Pastor Charlene said, wow. Oh, no, no, I don't want to be. Oh, no. For whatever reason, she probably realized his breath didn't stink till they got back there, or, you know, some other stuff she saw that wasn't to her liking or something, and now she want to back out, and now he met, justifiably, because it has gone down the other way as well, where, you know, there have been times where the guy, you know, he's allowed it to get to a certain point, and then he wants to back down, and the woman gets upset. We just hear it a lot more from the woman backing down and the man getting upset, but it happens the other way, too. So now this happens, and he sexually assaults you. Boo hoo!
Wow!
Again, listen. I personally, I have put myself in that situation plenty of times, and it is only by the grace of God that I don't have the story that ends in I was raped, or I was beaten and left for dead, or I was, because you really have to understand what you're doing. You're not as oblivious as you try to act. So whatever you thought you were going to get out of this, even if you said, well, I only wanted to go this to this point, and he may wanted to go further, but I'm going to stop it. Like, there's women who think like this initially. Okay, so I'm going to just play along. I'm going to stop it at this point. I know he may wanted to go further, but I'm going to stop it here. You can't do that because, as it was already said, there's men who plan on getting rough. There's men who plot on raping. There's men who plot on things, and you're really going to play this game, and now you're going to sit here and now expect people to feel sorry for you? Women are not as stupid as they act. And I got into a big debate about this with someone, and I put myself in the situation because I got personal and told them of a situation where literally it has to have been Jesus standing in between me and this man, because I don't know how he ain't rape and or kill me. He said, oh, that wasn't your fault. No, it was my fault. I was stupid. It was dumb. It was dumb. Why? Like, no, we are not as dumb as we try to act most of the time. And again, with everything that's going on out here, you cannot play these games, because that's exactly what she did. She knew what she was doing. And he knew what he was doing. So now both of them need to understand the role that they played and not play those games anymore.
Wow. What a millennial response. Woo. I ain't see that one coming. I told y'all with Pastor KL and Shantice, I hold my breath. You just don't know what you're going to get. Well, all right. All righty. Okay. Thank you, my due-time crew, for indulging me in my news. All right. I got ripped from the headline. You know, I kind of missed my rip from the headline. And I want to see what you think about these things here, these stories here. So there's a server who was accused of spoiling a woman's pregnancy announcement. And this is a little convoluted, so I'm going to have to tell the story a certain way to make sure I don't get all twisted. So here's what happened. A group of women went to the restaurant, and they went to the restaurant and they ordered drinks. Okay. After she took everyone's drink order, a few of the women approached her and asked for their cocktails to be made without alcohol because they didn't want everyone else to know that they weren't drinking. So she said she naturally assumed that they were pregnant, or at least one of them was pregnant, and they didn't want, and they, you know, she didn't want the people to know yet. So she was serving them throughout the night. So when she went, she separated, so they wanted like separate bills. So when she separated the bills is when she made this mistake. She said she accidentally put a virgin drink on one of the bills that wasn't meant for the person that she gave it to. So she apologized. Table asked who ordered a mocktail, saying something about her being nosy. So she said the manager called her and she said, some girl came over to me fuming, saying that you ruined her friend's pregnancy announcement, and they're really upset. And she's so upset that you ruined everything. So while she was speaking to the manager, she said the woman, one of the women came over to the to them and said, so I just want to let you know that my friend is absolutely so upset because you were so unprofessional about the entire pregnancy thing. And now the whole entire table knows that she's pregnant because you gave someone the wrong bill, and it's just super unprofessional. Well, she didn't ask for anything to be comped. She just wanted to just like shout the girl out and make her feel bad. And so she put it out on TikTok and they were responding. And some of them said, you know, one thing, and some of them said another thing. And I want to kind of know what you all are thinking. You know, was it her fault? And they should have just left, you know, they should have accused her of, you know, or ream her out for that. Or was it, you know, listen, it's an accident. Things happen. Why even bother to mention it? Tamika, we're starting with you.
I think that they went extreme. And in actuality, as someone who has in the past, you know, gotten, oh, could you put a little orange on my ginger ale, you know, it's really not a big deal. You know, you're sitting with people that drink, and maybe just this particular day, you know, for all you know, they might have just thought, oh, well, maybe she doesn't feel like drinking today. You know, I think you put the extra stamp on it by being extra at that moment. I understand that you wanted your drink to be, you know, a virgin drink. So get your virgin drink, and if somebody else gets it, don't add to it. I think it was the fact that she made such a big extra, you know, funk about it that caused the extra, because honestly, you know, I can't see somebody figuring out just because you decided that one opportunity that you didn't want to drink. You know, I think she made it extra by her actions and her reaction.
Okay. Pastor KL, what are we talking about?
I think this is stupid. I really don't even understand. I mean, was it a bridal shower or a baby shower? I mean, I just don't understand how you even mad because you pregnant and nobody else didn't know. You know, I think it went a little too far. I think it went real too far. You know, the young lady obviously made a mistake. Listen, so if it wasn't the pregnancy thing and she made the mistake, it would have been okay. I mean, it was a mistake. She didn't do it on purpose. I think this is really a stupid story. I'm sorry.
All right. Pastor Charlene, what are we talking about?
I agree. It just don't make no sense. How many times you ever been out and they swapped the bill of y'all sitting at the table? It could be four people, and then, you know, you have different bills there. It was a mistake. I mean, why are y'all acting like that? I would have just said, well, who's pregnant then? I mean, we're going to go all the way. Let's just go all the way. You know what I mean? Really? Because you're not drinking alcohol, you pregnant? That, you know, that's not spoiling nothing. You know what? I don't feel good today. I just don't want to have no alcohol or, you know, whatever. I got to get up early the next morning. Y'all could have came up with something else. Y'all didn't have to go over there. Y'all made it known by getting up and going talking to the girl from the very beginning. So don't blame somebody. They trying to get free. That's what they trying, because you know how we do. We always trying to find a way to not to pay for the food or something. Something was in it. You know, ate half of it, but something was in it. You know what I mean?
Well, they say that, you know, surprisingly, she didn't ask for a comp. So they, you know, they just wanted to berate her for, and I can guarantee you this is on the other side of the fence. You know, they didn't ask for the comp, surprisingly. Shanti, what are we talking about here?
The first problem was y'all asked for separate checks.
I knew you were going there. I knew you were going there.
That was the first issue. Because I can guarantee you it was not only the alcohol that was asked of you on the separate check. It was probably 18 to 25 people there, and everybody wanted their own check, and this one had the keys, but this one don't want to pay the gratitude and all that. And now she made a mistake and put the mocktail on one of the checks that it wasn't supposed to be on. And after everybody coming to her on the side, throwing their credit card at her, or with cash, told my hair, put this on the burger, put the burger on this and all that. And now you mad because she made a legitimate mistake, as it was already said. There's 500 different ways y'all could have spun this. Because all you alcoholics want to know, we're either, oh, you ain't drinking, you either pregnant or on antibiotics, which one is it? It wasn't that real. it wasn't that real. But the issue came when y'all wanted y'all own check. And y'all going to learn to stop going out with people y'all can't split the check with. Because you're lucky that this was all that happened, was that a drink that someone actually had ended up on the check. Because when y'all get separate checks, a whole lot of other stuff can go wrong. Please.
All righty. Brother Al, let's say good morning to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How you doing over there?
I'm doing pretty good listening to you guys. Listen to these conversations just proves my theory that Pastor Sean is just really a thug. I'm getting her a tattoo that's a thug life. She's a thug.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm going to have to get a bodyguard for Pastor Sean against, you know, to stop you from attacking her. What you say about this story, Brother Al? Was it too far, or could you understand what happened?
It was dumb. I agree with Pastor Cheryl. Just so stupid. It was like, you know, some of the people on the panel said, all you had to do was just say, hey, I just ain't feel like drinking today. I didn't want nothing to drink today. She made a big scene, and now everybody knew because of you. All you had to do was say, hey, I didn't feel like drinking today, so, you know, I'm not feeling too well, so I'll just take this. So I think it was just plain dumb. And it had to be on the other side of the fence, because if it was on the outside of the fence, it would have been a fight. You know what I'm saying? It's different. It's a different. It would have been a fight.
Absolutely.
Belly and all, it would have been a fight.
I agree. Because, see, we would have been handling this much different. You talk about there's no comp. Oh, there would have been a whole lot of comp requests. And she messed it up, and now she ruined our night. And, oh, yeah, it would have been a much different thing. All right, what are we talking about here? Okay, there seems to be this new thing in certain areas of life where there's a mother-in-law baby shower, mom-in-law baby shower. So there's a pregnant young lady. And she was shocked when she found out that her mother-in-law had her very own baby shower. And they gave her this baby shower. And what really upset her was the fact that, first of all, she even had the baby shower. Number two, neither her nor the husband was invited. They gave her a cake that had the boy, the baby's name on it, a whole full buffet and a banner that read, "It's a boy, let's celebrate grandma." And she didn't know until she saw it on social media. And she said that not only that, but they had a big, huge, blown-up picture of the son and the daughter-in-law with her pregnant. And she was like, okay, I'm not feeling this at all. Now, again, another TikTok story where, you know, they're putting it out here and they're venting and they're asking for, how do people, you know, what their response, their comments. And, you know, then that's when she found out that this mom-in-law baby shower is, a little more common than you think. So here she is. She's saying she don't feel like there should be a mom-in-law baby shower. I don't know what's going on in this world. Things are shifting. Pastor KL, should there be a mom-in-law baby shower? And the real mom shouldn't get upset.
I'm trying to figure out what's the purpose of you having a baby shower. You're not having a baby. So now are the gifts going to your son and his wife, or are the gifts staying at your house in case they let you after all this babysit? I mean, I don't understand what the purpose of it. It just, huh?
Well, let me stop you. Let me stop you there and tell you one of the people that responded said that her mom-in-law, they gave her mom-in-law at her job a baby shower. And they told her about it, the mom-to-be, they told her about it. And what they did was they gave her gifts and toys for the baby. So when the baby, like you said, so when the baby came over to the house, she would have stuff over at the house already. Well, now that that's being said, does that change your feeling? Do you think that it makes sense to do this?
No, it sounds like the mom and the grandma and the grandpa are just cheap. You're looking for free stuff. You know, buy your own stuff for the baby. You know what I mean? So you want your house to be filled up so you ain't got to buy nothing when this baby comes. Listen, after all this stuff, you may not see my baby. So now what you going to do with this stuff? Because now you're making me mad. So here I am leaving the crib. But your coworkers are buying a crib for your house. So my baby is in my house sleeping on the rug. And you got a crib that he ain't going to never see. Nah. I think you're being cheap.
Wow. Pastor Charlene, what say you?
To me, it don't make no sense. But like Pastor KL said, I guess to get some free stuff. So I invite all my friends. So that means I don't like you, you know, because that's what that's saying to me. And you don't like the girl, because the son is hers, right? The mother-in-law?
Right.
Okay. So I don't like her. And now you putting even more fire into that flame because you didn't invite them. And then now she, the mother, is going to want to know to her husband of why your mother acting like that. So now you trying to put extra into the family. That's what the mother did. She just added on to show everybody that I don't like her. So you wouldn't see my baby. You wouldn't see my baby. My baby ain't coming, so we'll be fine.
Wow, that's
the other
two.
Side of me. The other side of me. The other side.
Two people said, "Ain't no, you ain't gonna see my baby." Come on, Shanti. What say you?
Who is attending these showers? And who's giving them? Like, that's like me getting an invite to auntie's baby shower. I'm not going. That sounds dumb. Hey, this is just another way for you to get attention and, again, to show your behind to this woman who you are not fond of. Oh, well, this is what my people got me for the baby. Or now you're going to take credit for the gifts that they done got. No, it's just something else for people to do.
All right. Brother Al, what say you?
Well, first I'll start off by saying he's a mama's boy. Because you just letting mom disrespect your woman and your child-to-be. And just like Pastor Sean said, and Chartus, she don't like the mother. So it's like, I'm going to show you that I got control. Let me throw this in your face. You know, I'm going to have this baby shower, and that's it. Now, if the woman is strong enough, then she was like, you know what? You can have that baby shower, but you're inviting my parents, so I ain't coming. You know, don't feed into it. So, you know, the baby ain't even here yet, and y'all teaching him nonsense already. He ain't even out the womb yet, y'all teaching him nonsense.
Wow. All right. Tamika, what we got? What we got?
This just absolutely, I'm sorry, it just doesn't make any sense, you know, because here I am trying to get, you know, Pampers and onesies and, you know, all of that type of stuff and, you know, get it all in one household, get myself situated. So this stuff is at the mother-in-law's house. That, like, so back in the days, they bought those things, you know, and so, you know, you traveled with it. You know, the extra onesies at your house that don't come to my house, the baby bottles at your house that doesn't come to my house. To me, it's senseless. You know, it's kind of like something that happened to me. You know, my mother passed away, and they had a memorial dinner for my mother, but I wasn't invited. So I'm like not understanding.
Whoa.
You have this baby shower, you got the parents' pictures, and they're not invited. It's one thing if you don't want to come, but it's another thing I wasn't even invited. So not really understanding that one. I'm not getting it.
Wow. All right, we got one more rip from the headline. So we have a groom, and him and the bride are at the reception. And you know how they ask, you know, certain people to get up and give a toast. Well, mom of the groom gets up to give her toast, and she brings a rose with her. She has a rose in her hand. And she tells the story of how this little boy was 10 years old, the groom, when he was 10 years old, he came to her, he brought her this rose, and he says, Mom, I love you. You mean the world to me. I want to show you how much I love you. I went out and I got you this rose. You know, please take it as a sign from my heart. You know, just this, you know, if you heard this 10-year-old, you know, saying all of this stuff, you know, your heart would melt. And you know, she cherished this moment, and now he's married, and she brought this rose to the reception, and while she was making her presentation, she told this story, and she says, Frank, come up, no, she says, the bride, Jane, come up, Marcia, come up, Shanique will come up, get the rose, you know, that my son gave me when he was 10 years old. And she says, I want you to open the rose, because the rose actually opened. Well, when she opened up the rose, it was a thong. So what happened was when she opened the rose, when he was 10 years old somehow, she saw that it was a thong, but she never told him, because he was only 10 years old, that it was a thong, and he wouldn't have known what it meant. So now everybody's in an uproar because why would you bring that up and why would you tell the bride to open that up at the reception? Was she wrong, Tamika?
Oh, she was absolutely wrong. You know, you might have thought it was funny, but if that was the case, then why not tell him at another time? Why would you take that opportunity? You not only humiliated the bride, you humiliated him as well. You know, I, of all the times to do that, you know, if you want to talk a little funny talk, there are plenty of times and settings that you can set aside to do so. That time is, you know, one of the most precious times, and that was definitely not the time to do that.
All righty. Pastor KL.
Who brings a thong to the wedding? I mean, that was so distasteful. Not only that, who keeps a thong that long? You know what I mean? did the thread go bad? I mean, where did you keep this thong that you was able to keep it safe and pure all this time? You know, I just, no. To me, that was really, 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 really distasteful. Now, if you did it to say, hey, you might be able to wear it tonight on your honeymoon, then that'd be like a sidebar. You don't do that in front of the whole reception or especially in front of the whole church. You know, excuse me, Pastor, can I have a few words, you know, with the bride, you know, and bust out with a song? You know what I mean? I just don't understand how well that would go with the offering. You know, that's pretty bad right there. No, that ain't going to work.
Well, keep it now. It looks like a rose. When she was standing there making the announcement, it looked just like a rose. The same rose.
Pastor Steph, I know you've been saved all your life, but there's some stars that us Christians don't go to, and there's a lot of things that look like a rose, if you will.
I saw the video. The video was her standing at this little podium with, you know, twiddling in her fingers, this long stem rose. And at the top, It looked just like a rose. Now, I already know, I've seen them, where it looks like a rose, but in actuality, it's underwear. I've seen that before. So that's why I kind of guessed what it was. But it looked just like a rose. When she handed it to the bride, she handed the bride a long stem rose and told the bride to open it up.
It sounds like you frequent the store once or twice in your former life.
You know what? Don't think you're not going to be able to talk anymore because I'm turning your mic off. Not just for today. I'm turning your mic off for tomorrow as well. You finish for the week. Don't even bother. Don't even show up. Don't even show up. Oh, my goodness. Pastor Charlotte, what are we talking about? There's two distastefuls. Are we going for three distastefuls?
We're going for three, four, five, and six. Yes. But my thought was, what are you trying to say that underhanded that you didn't say? That was a thought for me. Because it's a thong. So are you saying that she took your man? Because some muggers.
That's what I was thinking.
Come on. Y'all know some mothers have their sons as their man. So that was a thought for me.
All right. Brother, Shantice.
Well, that was my question I was going to ask. Wait, so are we saying that the son gave the mother a thong and now she's letting everyone else know that her son gave her this thong? Because I don't get the punchline either. What was the relevance of the story? Like, that's something that just should have stayed the inside joke between y'all two. And then I would have had some concerns as a mother when you were 10 and gave this to me, and I saw that there was a thong in it. Because, I mean, especially on this side of the fence, I don't know a 10-year-old boy that don't know what a thong is. while you sitting there acting like you was all scared to mention it, he could have put you on to the history of thongs or something. So I don't couldn't have been my family up in there. That's all I know. We couldn't have been the recipients of that story.
Pastor Steph, who took him to buy it?
Right, because all she claimed is he came home one day with the rose and he wanted to make this presentation to his mother and let her know how much he loved her. So that's how she spins the story. That's how she told it. So I don't know.
He's probably trying to get a stepdaddy. She's probably trying to get a stepdaddy. Say, hey, you know, you've been alone too long. I want somebody else to play catch with.
All right now. Brother, go back to arts and crafts. Or what store, right, what store did he go in? And no, my question is, who sold him the flower that was the thong for real? And he didn't know that there was a thong at the top of, that this was rope. I don't know. Brother Al, what we talking about here?
I say it was very, very distasteful. And, you know, as me, if I'm looking at me sitting in the audience, you know, I'm sitting there like, did he just give his mama a thong? What's going on here? What type of relationship they got? You know what I'm saying? And then it comes back to what I've been saying forever, forever. These women and they boys. You know, for you to get up and say that, I'm with Pastor Charlotte. What are you telling the wife? What are you telling his wife? And you got them now, but I still got these thongs. You hear what I said? Before he bought you a thong, he bought me one. You know? So it's like, it can go so many different ways. Like Pastor Charles said, well, did you have him as your boyfriend? Because I've seen that as well, where mother treats this boy like he's her man. You know? And so it's like, you know, so much stuff run through your head. I know. In the audience, they had all type of stuff. Well, man, is she messing around with her son like that? Nah, it can't be. But hold on, he bought her a thong to show you how much he loved you. He bought you a thong. What happened to some candy or a shirt? You know what I'm saying? You go straight for the thong. You go straight for the jungle. Straight for the jungle. So,
wow,
that was very good. And I really do think that was a shot at the wife. Because, like you said, that could have been told one day in a funny day, hey, you know what this boy did? This crazy boy ain't know no better and gonna buy me this with a thong. He probably didn't know what it was. You came up and was proud of it. So that was a shot at that wife. She better get out now.
Right? She just got married, Brother Al.
Yeah, she can have it long. She still got time. Get rid of it. Get rid of it.
What's the Mother Day gift gonna look like? Goodness gracious.
Wow. Well, thank you, my due time crew, as always, for your contribution in today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You too.
We all do the same.
Thank
you.
You as well. All right. So we got our pray for them. Shantice, what you got for us today?
Okay. Today for pray for them, we have a listener submitted celebrity. Today we are praying for Daystar Peterson, which is better known as Tory Lanez. He is a very popular rapper who is now going to court for a shooting that took place back in July of 2020 with Megan Thee Stallion. Everyone knows Megan Thee Stallion now. She is a popular rapper that surfaced back in 2020. She has a song, Savage, with Beyonce, and so on and so forth. There was an incident that took place back in July in Hollywood Hills where Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez were in a car and some argument broke out between them, and he shot her in her one place is saying feet, one place is saying foot. Well, at least one of her foot, one of her feet had a gunshot wound. And initially, when the cops were called to the scene, she lied and she didn't let the cops know that, you know, there was a gun or they were really arguing or anything like that, because she stated that due to the climate of the cops, you know, just shooting and unjustly killing black men and women, she would dare to let them know that they were in that car with a gun, let alone in the car with a gun and one of them pulled the trigger on the other one. So they state that Tory Lanez was initially charged back in October of 2020 with one felony count, each of assault with a semi-automatic firearm, personal use of a firearm, and carrying a loaded unregistered firearm in a vehicle. There were a few other charges that they tried to get him with. Recently, he was charged with an additional felony count of discharging a firearm with gross negligence. But if convicted, but now he pleaded not guilty, which I don't understand how you're going to do that, but I think there's been a lot of backlash that Megan Thee Stallion has received, because initially she had one story and then now she's come out with another one. So when she went to Instagram and did a live and, you know, she called herself letting everyone know what ultimately happened, she received a whole lot of backlash saying she was lying, this, that, and the third. But nonetheless, he is facing, if convicted, he is facing up to 22 years and 8 months in prison. And this man is only 30 years old. So if convicted, and if he ends up doing that full time, he will be 52 when he gets out. And I don't know what type of relationship they ultimately had, if there was any type of romantic relationship or if this was just, you know, the industry peers or whatever. But whatever argument they had that now led to this gun being pulled out and the trigger being pulled, now this is what you're facing. And, you know, we've been coming across a lot of celebrities, you know, after their passing, so, you know, unfortunately, we can't pray for them now that they're gone, but praying for their family. But now here, this young man is now facing these charges, and now he has to go back and forth to court. So just really praying for his mentality. You know, he knows what happened in that car. She knows what ultimately happened in that car. Praying for his attorney. You know, a lot of these defense attorneys, especially if you're a celebrity, their goal is to just get you off. Whether they believe you did it or not, that's not a legit concern to them. Especially if you're a celebrity, because now if they get you off on these charges, now they get their clout. You know, now their names get put in the headline as someone who's able to, you know, win a case for so-and-so. So just praying for the integrity of his legal team, you know, praying for his relationship, you know, with this female rapper, because regardless of whether he's convicted or not, something went down between them. And now, you know, you both share this industry, which isn't that large. You know, everyone knows each other. Everyone works with and for each other. And just praying, you know, for over his life, you know, because, again, now you have another young man who is now facing losing the prime years of his life over something that was probably so foolish, whatever they were arguing about. Just definitely lifting him up in prayer, and, you know, his team and whoever else looks up to him, because I'm pretty sure, you know, he's had a lot of success. I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of people his age, maybe some younger, maybe some older, that have looked up to him as an artist, and now having to realize that he's a regular human like everyone else, who now has to face human consequences possibly.
All right, now give me his name one more time, please.
His name is Daystar Peterson. His rap name is Tory Lanez.
Okay, Daystar Peterson. All right, let us go before the Lord, holding hands and holding hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for just allowing us to even speak to you today. And, Lord, we're going to lift up Daystar Peterson before you, God. Only you know what ultimately happened outside of the two of them, God. And, you know, there's been a couple of stories that are given that have added confusion, which may have added to the time that he's facing, because they frown upon you know, multiple stories and lying and things like that. And they throw this into the sentencing. And dear Heavenly Father, only you know what your ultimate plan for his life is. Is this plan to save his life? You know, we would be praying that he doesn't get as many years, you know, for those who are going that route, you know, praying that he doesn't. But yet, you're actually sparing his life. You know, are you planning to use him in some way? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know if this is just a punishment maybe for other things he's done, but it hasn't surfaced. So now you're going to combine it all. We've seen you do that before, God. Well, it's in your hands. And we're going to trust you today. We're going to trust you for this situation, dear God. And again, like Shanti said, Lord, we're not just trusting you for his life. We're touching upon you, God, and we're touching the hem of your garment for the life of Megan Thee Stallion, for any of his family, anybody who's looked up to him and emulated him, God, that, you know, we only see a limited view, but you have a full view, God. And you know, sometimes we think we understand it all, but at the end of the day we don't. But your word says that we'll understand it later in the future, by and by, and we may not even be here to see the purpose in this whole entire situation or why you're doing what you're doing, God. But again, we ask that you just work in his life, that he learns to trust you, God. Is this a wake-up call for him, dear Heavenly Father, where you don't even intend for him to spend a certain amount of years, but your plan is to present it this way now as to give him the jolt, as to give others the jolt so that they could understand that a lot of this activity that has been, you know, passed over and glazed over and nobody's really paying attention, that, you know what, now we have to look at it for what it really is. You're not going to let us get and skate by anymore. Thank you, Father, for whatever you're doing. We will say thank you. You know, your word says rejoice during times of trials and tribulations. He's 30 years old right now. You didn't even have to let him live, you know, get to live to be 30, but you did. And Lord, we're asking you to just plant and plant and plant, water and water and water, and increase and increase and increase who you are in his life. That whether the judge or any of the attorneys or, you know, the prosecutors or any of the inmates, or whoever he has to come in contact with, the Heavenly Father, that you would touch upon their lives as well, that there would be something that they would get out of it. It wouldn't just be this, you know, we're just prosecuting, putting this person in jail, but that maybe his life could just be a little bit different than the other people that he even knows. And maybe you're trying to set him apart in a certain way. Again, what seems to be weird to us makes every bit of sense to you. So we thank you, God, that you gave him to us today to lift him up before you, because we understand that our life is in your hands. Even if they don't, we do. Thank you. Thank you. And we ask you just to bless this entire situation from the beginning to the end, God. And if something else needs to be revealed according to your plan, let your will be done. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Shanti. Thank you, listener, for submitting that. Pray for them.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, boy, did we talk about a lot today. We always talk about a lot here on this two time with Pastor Steph. You know, we even went through some, you know, pointless, you know, what we thought was pointless scenarios. You know, this mom-in-law baby shower, you know, and what do we think of it? You know, the Bible tells us to outdo one another with love. And that does not mean that we turn the attention from, you know, someone else onto us. So whether it was for, you know, to get you some free gifts and, you know, and that way you could keep them at your house, or someone said, are you going to claim to be the one who gave the gift? Or you're going to claim the gifts and give it to the couple. You know, whatever it is, that's not the way to go. You know, we've done for decades and decades, you know, this whole shower thing, and it's to salute, you know, the bride. The mom-to-be. And let's make sure we stop, you know, doing things out of selfish ambition. That's what the Bible tells us. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, you know, but make sure we take the time to encourage and lift other people up. We talked about, you know, the mom who, you know, waited until the her son's wedding day to bring this rose. You know, my thought was it had to be a new rose, because how did you find out it was a thong and you wrapped it back up? You knew exactly how to wrap the thing back up to make it look like a rose again, because when she was had it in her hand, it looked like a fresh rose. So, you know, this was a plot. This was a plan. And it was any wife. It wouldn't matter if it was Mary. It was Mary on June 3rd. But, you know, this could have been Marsha on April 5th. It didn't matter. She had this all planned out to embarrass him, to, you know, to say, you know, hey, this is the relationship that he and I had. There was no reason, again, taking the spotlight off of the couple and putting it on yourself. And that's the world we live in. The world we live in is a very selfish world. It's all about me, me, me. Nobody's thinking about the other person. Nobody's caring about the other person. All the focus should be on is me, my concern. What about me? And, you know, this is a bad mindset to have, especially when we just got finished talking about giving generously. You know, Jesus himself said, it's better to give than to receive. So come on, let's get ourselves together. Let's take the time to show love more than standing in the spotlight to receive love. Let's give more love, and let's do what God has instructed us to do. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew, who always comes through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss that opportunity, this opportunity, to, you know, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen your relationship with the Lord, because later is not promised to each and every one of us. Not one of us knows the day nor the hour. Until tomorrow, God says, where is Freestyle Friday? I love you.